Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I am Trevor Sikkema. With me is Benjamin Solak. It is a beautiful Monday morning. We're getting on to the cornerback class today of our summer scouting series. But Ben, we just had our TDN summit, and to quote Talladega Nights, I'm all jacked up on Mountain Dew. That's how I feel about it.
We didn't drink any Mountain Dew. We had Gatorade Zero, Colombian Cold Brew, and Claws.
And a lot of White Claws. And
a lot of Claws.
So I guess I'm all jacked up on White Claws.
There's photographic evidence of this, as posted by Jordan Reed on Twitter. Trevor is indulging in the Claws.
I just want to tell you guys out there in podcast world, one, thank you so much for, like, seriously, serious moment, like, from the bottom of our heart, following this, following the Draft Network, supporting us, you know, having these conversations, these friendships where we get to talk about these NFL players and everything. We love getting to go back and forth with you guys. We love having the opportunity to give you guys a platform, to give you a voice, to start these conversations, and to just talk football. It's so much fun for myself, for Ben, for everybody else on the TDN team. You guys obviously make all that possible. We're really glad to give you what we hope has been a great product so far at the Draft Network. And man, after this weekend, I cannot tell you. No, I literally can't tell you because it's a secret. But the things that we are going to be doing in year two are going to blow your mind. We're going to change draft coverage and take it to a place that you've never seen it before. And I think it's just going to make people's dreams come true. How they indulge college and NFL football, how they take in the NFL draft process, and more importantly than that, how they get to get involved. We're going to have so many cool interactive features, so many ways for you to get involved with the draft process of the Draft Network, and I'm just so excited for it. So I wanted to make sure that, because we don't always do that. I know we have Fan Fridays and we have a lot of fun interacting with fans, but honestly, all this podcast, the site, that kind of stuff, it's not possible without you guys being able to support us and choose to listen to us and read what we do, and so very thankful for that. And weekends like this weekend, where I'm watching a group of guys kind of come up with something that I think is going to change a lot of football fans and how they take in football in a big way, is going to be really cool. So, sentimental moment to start the podcast.
What's number two?
What was number two? What do you mean?
Well, you said a couple of things. One, and then you went on that big emotional tirade. Not tirade, like, you know, beautiful, beautiful sentiment. So, what's number two?
Two, this cornerback class is really good, Ben.
Two Claws sponsor the podcast.
We are. Yeah, that's true. Okay, yes. So we're looking at four cornerbacks this week. And as you guys know.
Four this week?
Sorry. We could probably spend four on just, like, all 4 days on just these four guys that we're looking at. But we got more guys that we got to get to. Ben does the scheduling. So he takes the name and he organizes them. And when things work out correctly, he likes to take a lot of credit for it. When things don't work out correctly, he likes to be like, well, I don't know, everybody, and I'm just, you know, I'm trying to pull it together and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So,
okay, but the two main guys here I already knew from last year, because there was a good chance both of them came out. And then the third good guy I already watched for our summer scouting series just with the Draft Network. So these guys I actually knew.
Okay, who do you want to start talking about? Because I'm down to talk about any of these guys.
All right, well, let's play this game. Sometimes we like to tease it to the end. I'm teasing it right to the beginning. We have talked about Bryce Hall from Virginia and Christian Fulton from LSU on this podcast. Consensus generally, these are talked about as the top two corners.
Good.
That are in this upcoming class. So on three, we are both going to say who we want to talk about first, and it's going to be the quarterback that we think is the best right now.
Wait, out of these two guys?
Out of these two.
Okay.
Yes. Are you ready? Okay, so we're both going to say the name.
Wait, are we saying it on, like, shoot, like 3, 2, 1, shoot?
It's going to be 1, 2, 3, name.
Okay. Okay, all right.
All right, you ready?
All right.
1, 2, 3.
Bryce Hall.
Oh, no! This is exactly what I wanted to happen. All right. So let's talk about Trevon Diggs.
That was perfect.
Bryce Hall, dealer's choice. Bryce Hall out of Virginia. Trevor, sell me on Bryce Hall's corner one.
No, I think Bryce Hall is awesome. And Joe Marino's a big fan of his. He was watching a lot of Virginia last year as the ACC guy. And I didn't really hear a lot about Bryce Hall until kind of like later in the process. He's about 6 foot, 6 foot one, 200 pounds. He looks built very well for the position. He's not like a freakishly long dude, but he's got plenty of length on his body. I think he's got plenty of size as well. I think he can be pretty sturdy in tackling, even though his tackling can be a little bit shaky at times. That's kind of a defensive back thing, though. With Bryce Hall, I see a lot of competition. You know, this guy could very well play for Mike Gundy and just be hashtag compete. That's what I think. I think that no matter who he's going up against, no matter what the opposing wide receiver was, he was ready to match him. And he was ready to match him in zone, in man, with strength, with speed. Led the nation in pass breakups last year with 22. He even admits to himself that a couple of those actually should have been interceptions. But a couple of the interceptions that he had two last year, they're pretty nice interceptions. I mean, the one-handed one where he just rips it away from Kelvin Harmon in that NC State game is pretty damn impressive. The thing with Bryce Hall is that as I was kind of really going over his tape for this podcast, there was a point in which I was watching it because I remembered Kelvin Harmon's 40 time. And I was like, okay, he's keeping up with Kelvin Harmon pretty well, hip to hip. But then there were some other times where I was like, why is Virginia playing him so far off? When I see that he can do pretty well in press coverage, I felt like they played him off a lot. And so in my head, I'm like, is he slow? I'm like, is he actually not as good of an athlete as I thought? Then I turned on the Miami game and he like straight up sprinter pursuits Travis Homer down the sideline on a
ran like a 4.4 or something like that. Like, right, Homer is not slow,
and so like that was extremely impressive to me, and that kind of remedied a little bit it for me. And so when I see Bryce Hall, I'm with Joe. I see all around game. I see kind of everything that you would want from a cornerback. That doesn't mean he's perfect, but I really do think that he has all the tools for who you would want to be as a man coverage cornerback at the next level. And I also think he's got a great head on his shoulders with a good mindset of always being hungry. I mean, I read an article about him just to get a little bit more background information, and the word hungry just kept popping out in this article. This kid will not settle for how great of a year he had last year. He doesn't want 22 pass breakups again. You know, he doesn't want that number. He wants to play better defense to the point where they're not even throwing him the ball. And if they do, he wants the interception number to go up and that pass defense number to go down. So I was very impressed with them, both from a physical standpoint, or not both, all, a physical standpoint, a tape standpoint, and from a mindset standpoint. So That's what I thought about Bryce Hall.
Yeah, so I prefer Christian Fulton, but I'll tell you right now, every single defensive backs coach, every single defensive coordinator is going to like Hall more than Fulton. Because, I mean, this is a coach's kid. Like, and you talked about the competitiveness, right? Like this, I in my first line of my scouting report on him, I cannot remember watching a college corner who was as good down the field being physical without drawing flags. And that's such an NFL trait. That's such an NFL skill. And his ability to just be physical outside of the contact window where it's supposed to be a penalty, but he does it with subtlety and he does it with leans and he does it with hand fighting while the receiver is hand fighting and he gets his eyes back on the football and he plays the ball while he's contacting you. Like, his comfort being physical, it's fully the wide receiver background. Like, he's playing through you to the ball. And as a corner, I mean, that's so disruptive. You do not get easy catches on Bryce Hall. Like, it would never, ever be easy on you. And I don't, like, I'm not worried about size. Like you said, like, he's like 6'1", 200. He's going to be able to match up against size. He has the speed to match up against speed. Downfield, I mean, what he is in terms of a college corner, his readiness for the NFL is astronomical. It's thrilling.
Okay, now, were you going to keep going on Hall? Because I'm like, if you're talking this highly about Hall, I got to hear about Fulton.
So I'm gonna bring it home on this. And you also brought up a little bit of concern with his tackling. I think his next best trait is, I mean, they had him playing linebacker. Right, I mean, his run fills are outstanding. His tackling in space is tremendous. That length, and that physicality. So you brought up.
There were a couple times when I thought he put his head down and like just, you know, lunged at people and didn't. I think maybe I'm a little bit harder on Bryce Hall in that aspect because like I know he can tackle. So like when he messes up in those ways, I'm like, dude, come on. Like that's for you, that's a bad effort. You know, for other people, we've talked about this before on this podcast. There's a lot of ankle biter corners. I'm sure that we'll talk about later this week. But Bryce Hall's not. So when I see him like just put his head down and absolutely whiff on a guy, I'm like, okay, that's bad. I hold you to a higher standard than that. But okay, so go on. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I did, but you know.
Yeah, you okay? So quarters coverage is the name of the game, right? Like you said, they leave him off. They leave him 8 to 10 yards off, and that's the way they want to play. You know, Virginia wants to play quarters. And they want to play man cover four like that. So with Hall, there are the tools, and there are occasionally there's the film of press coverage, but really it's not there the way it is with Fulton and even with some other guys like Trevon Diggs from Alabama, who we're going to talk about. There's no reason to believe Bryce Hall can't play press coverage, but he is not currently as good in press coverage, A, as he is in off coverage, and B, as other guys aren't in press. And so you do have a guy with Bryce Hall who false steps on occasion in press, and he false steps even on occasion in off coverage. He's not super industrious with his footwork. And because he's leggy, because he's got that long stride, he's not the most flexible, agile dude. And so when he false steps, it's a little bit tougher for him to recover. Now, he's explosive on a straight line, and he's got great disruptive length. Like I said, he plays through the catch point. So you can be a little behind the ball in terms of, you know, break plan drive, in terms of getting out of your back pedal and getting downhill on short routes, or in terms of, you know, working your step kick, not crossing over your feet. Okay, like, you know, getting into recovery phase, using your length, using your long speed to catch up. Like, he has the tools to recover, but he's not necessarily as flexible and as smart with his feet, as industrious with his footwork, especially near the line, as other guys. And this is a product of where Virginia played it. You know what I mean? Like, you simply press coaches, teams that run press, will not be afraid of drafting Bryce Hall in round one, but they may prefer the tape of other guys who, if they test similarly athletically and if they, you know, if they feel comfortable with their ball skills and with their disruption skills, which, like I said, for Hall are pretty much unparalleled, they might want to take those guys because they know and they've seen them in that scheme be successful. And so with Hall, it's the reality of the ace card, the ace in the hole, the trump card for NFL corner plays, press coverage, and he just doesn't really have a ton of that on his film right now. So that's the big what if that there is right now with me for Bryce Hall. Like I said, when we're down the field and it's defending the nine ball, I can't remember a better player.
Christian Fulton, then.
Christian Fulton, I watched Christian Fulton take one step and turn 180 degrees, and I said, I will do anything for this player. Play seven first. I don't care.
Oh, man. Christian Fulton's awesome, man. He's so smooth. And he's so sticky. Those are the two adjectives that I'd use for him.
I'm getting hot just thinking about it, Trevor.
All right, calm down, dude. Calm down.
He's dreamy.
Calm down. I just said the word smooth and sticky. You don't need to bring up the hot thing. All right. So, no, Christian Fulton's kind of interesting though, because this is a kid who didn't play the entire 2017 season. I think he was a consensus 5-star cornerback. Didn't play the 2017 season because he tried to use somebody else's urine in a drug test, and the NCAA does not like when you do that. So they hit him with a ban, and he didn't play for the entire 2017 season, ends up coming back 2018. But the reason I say that is because the whole time, apparently, the kid was practicing like as if he was a starter. And so when he finally got eligible a year later, Orgeron was like, you're starting. Like, it's as easy as that. It's not even a debate. You're going to be a starter this week. So they talked about his maturity, him, you know, maturing a lot as a man, him, you know, being attentive in the classroom and paying attention to all the details of his life and all that kinds of stuff and really regretting what he did. And so, you know, the reason why he missed the 2017 season, you got to give a little bit of context to it. But first, comfortable as he looked. And I think the biggest trait that I could boast about Christian Fulton is that playing man coverage is such a stressful thing. There's so many things that you have to worry about. Because as a cornerback, you've got to guard this wide receiver who could literally go anywhere. They could just go anywhere on the field, and you've got to somehow be able to cover him. He looks so calm when he's in man coverage, and that's something that really stands out to me. He just looks very poised in one of the more difficult jobs on the entire football field, and that, I think, really impressed me, and that tells me that you are the athlete enough to stick with guys, to keep up with guys. It means you recognize things well enough. You've done your homework. You've seen it before. You're not panicking. I don't see a lot of panic ever with Christian Fulton. And so those are traits that are really almost kind of like X-factor things, along with being athletic enough, big enough, all that kinds of stuff. Christian Fulton's the cornerback from LSU, by the way. I don't know if we mentioned that early, and we're bad at that. But he's about 6 foot, 195, so giving a little background there. That's kind of my synopsis of Christian Fulton.
Oh, man, Christian Fulton, dude. And listen, Bryce Hall, like, take him round one. I don't care. I'd be very happy. Fulton. Oh, Jiminy Christmas. His footwork is out of this world. It's out of this world, Trevor. We talk about, you know, so There's defensive backs, coaches, and guys who study the position, know the position, who don't like the phrase mirror match. Like, they're only phrase like, all right, he can, like, mirror guys off the line of scrimmage, because that's just not the way that you want to play corner. You want to play a corner with initial leverage, and you want to funnel a guy to one half of the field into one side. You want to use the sideline to help you. You want to use your safety to help you. No, we're not trying to mirror a guy anywhere he goes anymore. That's just an ineffective way of playing corner. Christian Fulton could just mirror guys. Like, it's just, and you talk about it, the ease. You talk about the confidence. At no point is Christian Fulton at any physical position where he's like, if you were to go another direction right now, you would get away from me. It doesn't matter. It doesn't.
No.
I brought up the turn. The mobility that he has in his hips.
Mobility.
To swivel, redirect, plant, and move. I mean, it's just like he's you like unscrew him. Just it's just like it's completely free. It's unbelievable watching him speed turn, watching him get out of a back pedal, watching him play out of a half turn and turn to a comeback. Like when I talk about speed turns, right? If you think about it in press coverage, right? I'm pressing you. You're coming to the inside, so I'm starting to open my hips up to the inside. And then all of a sudden, you break back outside. You break back outside. Now you're at my back. If I try to turn my hips towards into you, it's that's like a 270-degree turn. Like, my hips are facing the quarterback. Now I've got to get all the way around back to you, and now we got to go upfield. That's a really long turn. So speed turning involves turning your back to the wide receiver and opening those hips up downfield. It's a much smaller angle, right? But it takes great fluidity, it takes guts, and it takes really, really good explosiveness. And, I mean, Fulton just speed turns like he was born to do it. He just doesn't care. It doesn't phase him whatsoever. And then the hand usage, it's not Bryce Hall levels of disruptive. Nothing is. But it's strong. I would like, sure, I'd like to see more of it in press coverage, but his feet are so good in press. And press starts in the feet. People think press starts in the hands. It starts in the feet. And he's got such great initial setup with his leverage. He's got a really clean step kick. He stays well grounded. He takes those short, choppy strides. He never crosses over. When he's just in pure soft shoeing, pure like that Patrick Peterson technique of playing press coverage. I mean, he's measured, he's controlled, he's patient, he's got his eyes in the backfield, addressing the catch point. He's instinctive, he's got fantastic timing. There's a pass breakup against Mecole Hardman in Georgia where Hardman's burning down the field, front hits him back shoulder on a 9-ball, Fulton is out of position, his back is to the football, he's solely reading Hardman.
Mm-hmm.
And the second Hardman goes for that catch, Fulton pops him on the elbow, incomplete pass. Like, it just doesn't get prettier than that in recovery.
He's
good. So even keeled. And the thing is, like, Bryce Hall versus Fulton, I have Fulton corner one, and you said it correctly. Fulton is right now, to me, a better press man corner. He's a better natural man corner.
Sure, yeah.
And that is that's what I need in the NFL. If you can lock a dude man to man, you're going to be so, so, so valuable to me. Both tremendous players. Both are going to, be fighting all the way through April for the potential top corner spot. But, man, I mean, Fulton's film, I couldn't stop watching it. I watched like six games I didn't even watch. Oh, man, he's good.
Trayvon Diggs, the next guy we're talking about, he is the cornerback from Alabama. He's a little bit skinnier, but he's longer. He's 6'2", about 205, and he's got some good length to him. He is the brother of Stephon Diggs, who you may know. He's pretty good. NFL player, wide receiver, Minnesota Vikings. Diggs is good. I did not think that I was gonna like Trayvon Diggs this much because of how much I watch SEC football games, and I never really. When I think about it, it's not like I ever thought that Diggs was like a liability, but I never really noted him. And when you're playing corner, I guess that's. You could be susceptible to that, especially if you're just watching players, if you're watching the game as it's happening live in front of you, and you're just watching corners at your peripheral vision. It's one broadcast camera is no way to judge a corner, so you're not really going to be able to do that. But Diggs, when I was watching, I mean, like, you put on that Ole Miss game, man, Diggs covered DK Metcalf better than any corner covered him the entire season or the last season or like I've even seen. And he covered AJ Brown. He covered DeMarcus Lodge. They even put him against like Dawson Knox a little bit when they were doing their like dual nickel cornerback thing. They put him against everybody. And
he, unlike Fulton and Hall, has a lot of experience playing over the nickel.
That's very true. He uses his length really, really well. We talk about length being an asset. Diggs uses his length as an asset really, I think, comfortably and confidently. And that's a really big deal, especially when you start saying to these guys, oh, you know, he's longer, we like him, he can do this, blah, blah, blah. Well, a lot of times it's just like, well, he can do this. Okay, well, show me you can do that. Trayvon Diggs, I think, has a lot of tape where he shows you how he wins with length. And he's fast. He's athletic. I mean, he's a Diggs. So you figure that family's pretty athletic.
And originally came to Alabama as like a wide receiver, deep right. half and half. And he was as a freshman when he was playing on the offensive side of the ball, he was a scheme touch guy. He was a little jet sweep, little bubble screen mm-hmm. guy. Like he can wiggle and he can really fly.
So I think he's plenty athlete enough. He's got the build that you would want. There was not I was waiting to find something about Trayvon Diggs where I'm like, okay, this is why he's not a big time prospect. I couldn't really find a lot, man. There's a lot to like about Trayvon Diggs.
I fully agree with you. Jonah Tolles dropped Tolles Takes for his Sunday publish, and one of the takes was Trayvon Diggs is a guy who's like within range of corner one, and like obviously Hall and Fulton, we just sang their praises. But like Diggs is a really good player,
yeah.
And obviously, you know, a guy who wasn't able to finish the season last season for Alabama, so kind of fell by the wayside a little bit. You go back to his film and you watch those early games, and like, yeah, we're dealing with a Bama corner, and it's amazing because true freshman starter for Nick Saban, Patrick Surtain Jr.,
mm-hmm.
on the opposite side is I would draft him in the first round tomorrow, but that's he's a sophomore, so we got to wait on that one. Hey, make sure you listen to the podcast next year. But anyway, Trayvon Diggs.
You know, like Diggs.
Yeah, dude.
I
physical.
Go on. Keep going.
Oh, just long, physical, fast. Does anybody have any other questions? Like, I mean, like, you know, like we're building a corner in the lab for the 21st century. This
right.
is
right.
You know, and what was, like I said, the wide receiver background. Talking about downfield play with Bryce Hall, you get that wide receiver background. You understand ball timing. You understand ball location. And you understand how to play physical.
Mm-hmm.
That shows up in Trayvon Diggs as well. Very effective in recovery or in phase, addressing the football, especially down the field. Now, when he's closing downhill, he's not necessarily as strong. I don't think he's a good off-coverage candidate right now. I think he's a little bit too worried about having to flip his hips and run. And so I think he gives a little bit too much cushion at times. He's too willing to let easy completions develop in front of him and then just come up, rally to tackle. And that transitional quickness, like I said, I think he's a little fearful today because it's not great and it's fine, but it's not fantastic. And he's another taller guy. He's definitely like, he's 6'2". Like he's got a leg and length to him. And that just makes your transitions take longer because you got more ground to cover with your steps, with your plant, your break, and your drive. But when we get in this guy into press, you know, and we're playing like, you know, you'd use the Seattle cover three as a mold of corner play that's really been popularized over the last 5-6 years. I mean, Diggs is tailor-made, man. I mean, the physicality, the comfort with his feet at the line of scrimmage, the ability to then open his stride and run down the field. I mean, he takes guys off the red line. He puts them into the sideline. He keeps them in his hip pocket. And he's very, very effective at finding the football. It's just generally tremendous stuff. I think that cover three deployment for Diggs
yeah.
is huge, especially yeah. because if you want to play him in just true zone, if you want to play him in shallow zones, he's smart. He knows how route concepts develop as well. And so I think that he really, really fits nicely in that sort of an idea to another, like, you know, I've said it now twice, I'm going to say it three times, like round one potential if you get him into the right system.
He's a little grabby right now. Like, I think he's a little bit, huh?
Yes, but like I say this about a lot of traits. I'd rather you be too grabby and me have to dial it back than you not be physical enough and we have to try to dial it up.
Which definitely makes sense. I'm just saying he's a little grabby right now. He can do press and everything, but you can tell he'll yank you a little bit. He needs to be a little bit more subtle with that. Like, one thing I really love about Bryce Hall is that he's great with positioning. Like, he knows how to play leverage on guys inside and out to where, okay, if you're throwing the ball, all of a sudden it's like, it's almost like Bryce Hall is the wide receiver. Like, he positions himself so well.
Right.
He's able to redirect, understand.
Watching him downfield is like watching a wide receiver play. I've never seen a corner do it like that.
No, and so that's my one thing with Trayvon Diggs right now is that he's a little grabby, and the reason why I brought that up is because the wide receiver that I saw give Trayvon Diggs the most fits, Kendrick Rogers, Texas A&M. Did you watch that game?
No, I did not. But you know, I love Kendrick Rogers.
He goes up against Kendrick Rogers, and he struggled more with Kendrick Rogers than he did with DK Metcalf.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, Metcalf runs about a third of the number of routes that Kendrick Rogers runs. Simple reality of it. Yeah. If you want to, talk grabby corners, Trevor. Boy, oh boy, do I have someone for you.
All right, fourth guy. We're talking AJ Green, not the wide receiver for the Cincinnati Bengals. We are talking about AJ Green, the cornerback for Oklahoma State. He's a longer guy. He's about another guy who's 6 foot, 6'1", but he is lean. He's about 185, 190. He is a guy who's interesting because I would say that AJ Green has a lot of the tools that you would want, but I would say that he is certainly the least refined of the guys that we watched, whether it was in press or reacting to things in zone or whatever. I thought he was a hair late to react to a lot of stuff. I thought he was not anticipating. I thought he was reacting more than he was anticipating. And it's the other guys that we were watching, I felt like they were a lot more in control of situations than AJ Green was. I just thought that he does.
He's got a lot of panic to him.
That's the thing. It's just, and I don't even know if I necessarily want to call it panic. He's just not nearly as in control as these other guys are. And I think he's got a lot of the same ability. He's got the length. I think he's got the body type, and I do think he's enough of an athlete. He's just not nearly as confident and in control as these other guys are. Whether it be because of speed, whether it be because of not knowing things, like maybe not anticipating things as much as he needs to, or maybe he just thinks that he's going to get beat one way or the other and he's hesitating, maybe playing a little scared. For whatever reason, when I watched AJ Green, I saw a guy who had a lot of tools. He just was not nearly as in control as I thought a guy with his kind of skill set and body type might be.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it goes back to the old adage of the first thing a corner needs how to do is play. The first thing a corner needs to learn how to do is play when he's wrong, which basically means, like, the first thing you need to do, like, learning how to play well as a corner is, like, play in the recovery phase. Like, everybody can be good when they're in phase, when they're stride to stride with the receiver, when they're step to step with him, when it's just hip to hip. Anybody can be successful. What matters is how successful you can be in recovery, because when you get to the NFL, you're going to be put into the recovery phase.
Right.
You're going to be put into a place where you're multiple steps behind coming down the field. You're going to be put in a place where you're closing behind the football and behind the break. It's going to happen. And the thing about Green is, like, when he's in pure man coverage, when he's in press and he's soft shoeing, right? So he's playing square hips, head up on a receiver, which is how Oklahoma State likes to play him. Do not ask me why. He doesn't have the best hip drop, turn, open his hips, and close of you expect for a top corner. And accordingly, he's behind breaks. And then it's a question of, all right, are you going to still be able to come, are you going to be able to close this gap under control, or are you going to be screaming at full speed and you're not going to be able to stop yourself if there's a double move, or if the receiver catches the ball and puts a move on you, it's going to go flying away. Or if it's, you're at the line of scrimmage, you're playing press, you're in the step kick, you lost the step, now you're behind the receiver on a 9 ball, are you going to put your head into that receiver, you're going to read through his hands, you're going to attack the catch point from behind, or are you just going to try to get a shoulder pad, right? So I there's a lot of panic in Green. It's just when things are good, they're good, but when things are bad, they're bad. And as a corner, things are going to be bad. You have to be able to survive in the recovery phase to be a top corner. Now, Green, physicality is great. Like I said, love physicality. Rather dial it down than dial it up. I made the grabby joke. Mm-hmm. Green gets grabby, but sure, like, he's willing to stick his face in the fan. He's willing to poppy at the line. Two-handed jam is effective. One-handed jam is effective. He's got some good transitional quickness. Like I said, it's not tremendous, but it's good enough. I think he's fluid in his hips. I think it just comes back to a little bit of getting his steps down quicker. And like I said, getting his hips lower. He might be a little bit stiff there in his knees and in his hips. I think he's got to drop his weight a little bit better. And then finally, my big thing with Green is, if you're going to be physical in the contact window and you're going to be, tough, and you're going to be really chatty with wide receivers and you're going to be that macho alpha corner, show up in the run game, brother. Like, I know you're playing in the Big 12, but if you're like, you talk a talk, and then I want you to walk the walk when it comes time to hit the 225-pound back who's on the boundary. Like, I need you there, especially the Oklahoma State's defense. Safeties are up. You are a force player and a last line of defense. It sucks, but, like, I need you to be there. I think he's ineffective taking off blocks and everything like that. He's disinterested in playing the run, which is not, like, if you're like Greedy Williams was disinterested in playing the run, but I had a first round in Greedy Williams. If you can cover, you can cover. The thing with Green is, like, I don't think he's a perfect cover man. I don't think he's a great cover man the way Greedy was, and now your disinterest in the run bothers me even more. It sounds even tougher to get you on the field.
Sure.
And so Green, I don't dislike, because traits are great.
Right.
I will say,
yeah,
elevation down the field when it's 50-50, great. Give me Green. I mean, I think he's got really, really good skills there. So there's some really nice stuff. But it comes down to, I need you to be more comfortable in man coverage, dealing with your limitations and being able to survive in the recovery phase, live the fight another day. Don't make your bad plays worse.
Yeah, and it's funny because, you know, against anybody else, Green might look like a good player, but here we just talked about three potential first-round cornerbacks that we had watched before him, and so you see a lot of the deficiencies of where he's got to go to stack up in this cornerback class. It's a really good cornerback class. We're going to get to some more names throughout the entire week. Obviously, have Fan Friday on Friday. We haven't even talked. We talked about three guys that could potentially all go round one, and we didn't even get to a guy who might be my favorite corner in the class. I've only seen bits and pieces of him. But
oh wow, what a tease.
When we get to him, I'm very excited to really dive into his tape because he just might be the best cornerback in this class. So we're going to get to him. We're going to get to a bunch of other cornerbacks. Then we're going to round this class out. We're going to get to safeties next week. Then get into a lot more NFL and college football centric stuff. It's going to be fun. Until then, you guys keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.